Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we're going to look into a broader manipulation of public perception in regard to geoengineering, along with the radiation fallout emanating from Japan. Climate engineering is a major elephant in the room, specifically when it comes to environmentalist groups and their supporters. I'm going to read through a very good commentary by Vivian Workington titled The Real Inconvenient Truth that was published by the Berkeley Daily Planet newspaper. Then we're going to listen to some audio from the 2012 Suffolk County public comments for a proposal to ban geoengineering operations over Long Island. And we're then going to open the station's phone lines for your comments and questions about this topic. The Real Inconvenient Truth by Vivian Workington. A person might be stoned for heresy in Berkeley if they were to question belief in global warming. But as a decades-long left-leaning KPFA listening and sponsoring, commuter bike riding, composting, plastic avoiding, bring your own cloth grocery bag environmental activist, I'm seeing too much hypocrisy and closed-minded smugness, and a lack of critical thinking on the part of those who I have always thought of as my people. I've come to the conclusion that those with liberal roots like me have been sent on a fool's errand, sucked into the unquestioning groupthink and religiosity by a well-funded corporatized environmental establishment that is scaring us into accepting top-down, pre-prescribed faux solutions that have never had public input and are designed to enrich bankers, diminish the rights of ordinary people, and funnel us into a controlled, technocratic society. We hear plenty of talk about lowering parts per million of carbon, while basic principles of environmentalism are violated, such as don't pollute, do no harm, local control, conservation, recycle, reuse, live simply, less technology, not more. The democratic left has been hijacked and infiltrated, our ideals and beliefs distorted and twisted into a disciplinary social agenda which demonizes rank-and-file humanity and deflects responsibility away from the real perpetrators of the destruction of our natural world. Al Gore, the man charged with popularizing the global warming theory, uses 20 times the energy of the average person in just one of his multi-million-dollar homes, yet his, quote, carbon footprint is never put under a spotlight. Few remember how, as vice president, he used his, quote, earth-in-the-balanced environmental cred to stump for passage of NAFTA and free trade policies, which started the environmental race to the bottom, in the wholesale giving away of local power over land and laws to multinational corporations. Now, Gore is investing with partners such as Goldman Sachs in carbon trading schemes, espousing the self-enriching solution to a problem he defines. It would seem subscribers to the theory of global warming never question the designation of CO2 as the root of our environmental problems and its convenient, consequent value as a global taxable trading currency founded on the commodification of nature and a newly invented, quote, right to pollute. This unverifiable system run by bankers will accelerate, not slow, the pillaging of the planet. It is my observation that all aspects of the left alternative media, from the progressive weeklies to KPFA radio, are conducting the environmental wing of the global war on terror, never missing an opportunity to frighten and guilt-trip us that we will cause, quote, game over for the planet if we don't vote for, quote, climate change legislation, a.k.a. carbon taxes and carbon trading, and support, quote, smart growth policies. We are schooled that only crazy right-wingers could possibly question the, quote, settled science and the, quote, settled remedies. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, is always cited as a trusted go-to body of expertise, even though their integrity was discredited with the, quote, Climategate scandal based on leaked emails in which head scientists at the IPCC, Michael Mann of Penn State, and Phil Jones of East Anglia University discussed doctoring the data on the, quote, hockey stick graph created by Michael Mann, and punishing scientists and scientific journals that print contradictory evidence to the theory of global warming. So many now are feeding at the trough of climate change disaster capitalism that a rational open debate is almost impossible. City councils throughout the land are curiously all subscribing to the same developer, banker-enriching, land-grabbing policies of, quote, smart growth. Unelected, unaccountable regional boards made up of selected local officials, along with corporations and non-governmental organizations, are drawing up dictatorial regional plans for growth that supersede city governments, depriving citizens of the right to affect their own local land use policy. In the name of climate change remediation, we are told we must pack more people into smaller areas of land as our towns are being transformed into mega Manhattanized cities with tall, multi-unit apartment buildings that take our sunlight and ultimately our connection to the land and nature. Old buildings, neighborhoods, and communities are wastefully being torn down and made over to fit the vision of elite ideologue urban planners. In the upheaval, small, local, independent businesses are lost and replaced with national chains. This is not protection of nature, but a transfer of wealth, power, property ownership, and autonomy of cities, towns, and rural areas away from ordinary citizens. Today's, quote, environmentalists are working towards increased government and corporate control and surveillance over our lives through biohazardous technology, i.e., smart grid and smart meters, with no regard for thousands of independent scientific studies proving that digital microwave radiation damages biology. Instead of a call to decentralize, simplify, and conserve, citizens worldwide are being forced to apply, quote, smart meters to their homes, even as they are complaining of heart palpitations, extreme fatigue, mental confusion, sleeplessness, headaches, ear ringing, dizziness, and more. A technology is neither, quote, green nor, quote, sustainable if its byproduct harms humans, insects, plants, and animals. This unseen pollution from smart meters and smart grid infrastructure is increasing exponentially with no objections from official environmentalists. Unlike the old meters, smart meters use energy to power themselves 24/7. And I might interject and add, your energy is being used to power the smart meters 24/7. They are only advantageous to a centralized corporate model of energy control. Most shockingly, the left, who claim to have the corner on environmental stewardship, are the ones giving credence to geoengineering solar radiation management. That's the spraying of chemical nanoparticle pollution, such as aluminum oxide and sulfur dioxide via jet aircraft, into the atmosphere in order to block the sun, as a solution for global warming. On May 9, 2013, the Earth Island Institute sponsored a debate cavalierly dubbed, quote, Hack the Sky, at the Brouwer Center in Berkeley, California. The purported adversaries were Stanford geoengineer Ken Caldera and so-called ethicist Clive Hamilton, who belongs to the same geoengineering-promoting solar radiation management governance group with Caldera and other geoengineers. That very morning, two debaters made an appearance on liberal KALW's Your Call. A few months later, the apprentices on Progressive Radio's KPFA's Full Circle hosted the same performance duo. Why are environmental groups and left media putting on rigged debates legitimizing and normalizing a preposterous technology which poisons and desecrates nature and can only cause irreparable harm when they could be screaming warnings from the rafters that scientists are recklessly playing God with our world? These left media outlets are unconscionably frightening their following into accepting what amounts to nothing less than the corporate scientific intervention into our natural weather and climate systems. the environmental establishment chooses to ignore a whole area of inquiry relevant and crucial to the climate change equation, that of scientific, military, university, and governmental, NASA and NOAA experimentation with our atmosphere and weather, which has been going on for many decades. The book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, by Nick Begich and Jeannie Manning, documents the history of military experimentation with the Earth's atmosphere and chronicles the development, including 12 patents, of the high-frequency active auroral research project known as HARP, a field of giant antennas which can boil the upper atmosphere with a focused, steerable, billion-watt electromagnetic beam, sending electromagnetic waves back onto a target on Earth, causing changes in the jet stream and weather. The Department of Defense and their military contractors operate outside of all laws that protect the environment. Ironically, the climate change activists of today are listening to and trusting the very moneyed, powerful entities who have brought us to the brink of ecological collapse and forced us into fossil fuel dependency for diagnosis and treatment of our environmental calamities. I'm going to say that sentence again. Ironically, the climate change activists of today are listening to and trusting the very moneyed, powerful entities who have brought us to the brink of ecological collapse and forced us into fossil fuel dependency for diagnosis and treatment of our environmental calamities. The Rockefellers, one of the biggest funders and grant givers to the current environmental, quote, movement, have, throughout the decades, used their wealth and influence derived from big oil to remain in control of energy. They financed prohibition in the 1920s and 30s to keep farmers from making their own alcohol fuel and worked to criminalize hemp from which fuel was made. They killed the electric car and the municipal electric railways and influenced our government to suppress more than 5,000 energy technology patents, which have potential to end our energy crisis. The rhetoric we hear of creating economic and environmental equity among people and nations rings hollow when you realize that the environmental establishment is being bought and commandeered by the richest fat cats in the world who have the inordinate means to create equity overnight and to stop their destructive environmental practices, if that were their true purpose. Instead, they're financing and manufacturing a phony grassroots campaign to pin the blame for environmental devastation on the, quote, every man who is living in a world choreographed by the corporate financial elite. Their message is that the future of the planet is impossible unless we, the little people, submit to the measures outlined by them. They have frightened, panicked, and demoralized the very people who would be fighting them with every breath into being the enforcement arm for their vision of our future. Fear of climate change is being manipulated to get the left to aid in the stealing of citizens' rights and the corporatization of our local government land, business, nature, and weather. While the environmentalists are stuck on climate change, the nuclear accidents, toxic spills, pesticide contamination, deep-sea oil drilling, fracking, tree cutting, electromagnetic radiation, introduction into the ecosystem of new dangerous technological compounds and organisms such as GMOs, synthetic biology, nanoparticles, the geoengineering of our skies, destructive war and weapons, and much, much more continue unabated. Now, left-wing pundits such as The Nation's Mark Hertzgard tell us to be impressed that the big-time financial fleecers and scammers, quote, Hank Paulson, hedge fund billionaire, Tom Steyer, and Michael Bloomberg, have come on board with climate change, as if they haven't always been. The war on climate change has gone publicly mainstream, as the likes of BP, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Dow Chemical bankrolled the People's Climate March in New York City in September 2014. No, it is way past time for the left to question where blind belief in billionaire banker-funded environmentalism is taking us. That was titled The Real Inconvenient Truth by Vivian Warkentin. Some listeners may remember the effort to introduce legislation to ban geoengineering in Suffolk County. Cindy and Jim Pakulis of Long Island Skywatch, attorney Andrew Patterson, and many others worked very hard to put this forward and influence other communities to do the same. You may recall that Suffolk County was the first to ban DDT pesticide. That ban was adopted on a federal level. That ban was later adopted on a federal level. We now listen to the audio of some of these amazing public comments from the Suffolk County Health Committee meeting April 30th, 2012.
Good afternoon, everybody, and I wanted to say thank you very much for giving me your attention. I'm not going to speak long. I know you folks are listening to a lot of stuff up here, and a lot of it may be new, a lot of it maybe not. I have 6 children. In this day and age, that's an anomaly all of itself. And I can imagine their lives in the future. And I believe they've been gifted to me. Just let me say that I don't do this very often, and I'm amused at the number of people that aren't actually paying attention. And
Mr. Zito, address the audience. Don't show them up, right? You're about the 12th speaker on this subject, so please continue with your presentation.
I say that with all due respect. I can imagine their lives in the future, and I know that you folks have children and relations. There are challenges. We have systematic breakdowns that are happening. But without getting too much fear base into it, I can imagine for you standing here, sitting here, listening to us all talk, that reaching up 30,000 feet and identifying yourselves with something that's happening way up there, it can be a little daunting. The good thing is that there's actually been a lot of research done. And at this point, we are pretty clear that there are chemicals being used that are really deadly. The scientists are good, I'll give them that. They can make an amazing amount of things happen up in the stratosphere. If they're trading snowfall on the stock exchange, they better be good. Aluminum is highly deadly. Mount Shasta, previously known as pristine, about as pristine a region in the United States as we get. 61,000 parts per million aluminum in the soil in the last 5 years. 61,000. The government has said, the federal government has said that 1,000 parts per million is a toxic ceiling. That's 61 times. There's enough video clips and audio clips and media print on record at this time that I don't think there's an argument whether or not this is happening. We know it's happening. It's no longer trying to convince people that those go or don't go or stay or whatever they do. The question now is that every time officials are petitioned, from the federal government to the state level, there has been denial. I've traveled from Hartford, Connecticut to come here because this is the first time that I've been able to address a group of officials that will listen. And I'm so grateful. So we've been denied from the top down. I beg that each of you consider the constituency that you represent. And man, you are in a tough place. because there's a lot of really outspoken mavens in this audience. I beg that you consider just the facts. All the other stuff, just set it aside and just listen to the facts. If you don't have them, I can make them available to you, or probably anybody here. Listen to what those facts are and make a decision so that a precedent is set so we can start to move forward. Thank you.
Looking at Occupy Wall Street, we find that the people are finally speaking up to things that we know are wrong. We have bills in local communities to get rid of corporate personhood.
Yes.
Because this is the only way that the people are going to have a voice, is to start at the grassroots in our towns and appeal to our local legislators to do something about terrible problems like this geoengineering. I'm a photographer and a gardener, and both advocations are suffering because of geoengineering. It used to be out here the light. The South Fork was known for its light. The beautiful, beautiful, clear light. Well, that clear light is gone. All we have is haze. We'll have a beautiful day, and the geoengineering will start. You'll see the trails in the sky, and then the afternoon looks like it does today. And Long Island is not also known for its agriculture. We're, I believe, the first or second biggest agricultural county in the state. The obvious loss of sunlight is affecting the agriculture. I know in my own garden, my crops are diminishing year after year. Our health is being ruined. We don't know what's in the trails. And I appeal to our legislators to ask some questions for us. Yeah. Where are the planes coming from? Are they coming from Gabriski? Are they coming from another state? Who's ordering them? We need to know. We deserve to know. Our health and the viability of this county is at stake. And we people will prevail.
Hello, thank you very much. I am here in the capacity of president of Empire State Lyme Disease Association. I don't blame anyone up there or in the audience for doubting the veracity of the claims about geoengineering of our skies. 6 years ago, a friend told me to investigate chemtrails. This friend is intelligent, well-informed, and very accomplished. Yet she left it to me to look up in the sky to do my own research. Even though I respect my friend, I did try to dismiss her chemtrail claims. 2 years ago, I did become convinced that we do have a problem. I saw chemtrails in Denver, Colorado, and I saw them in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I've seen them here. And they don't just fly every day, they fly every day and every night. There are many connections that have been made. Huge corporations such as Novartis, which is based in Germany, have bought American companies. For example, Beechnut Baby Foods and the American Seed Company. Are they connected to this geoengineering of our skies? Is our government or parts of our government connected, or other groups? I leave it to others to answer these questions. I see planes flying which deliberately seem to be creating patterns in the sky above us, as you've heard over and over, sorry. But they make plaids, they crisscross, and they slowly dissipate and form a cloud cover which in effect obliterates the sun. So many of us are just too busy, and I've been too overwhelmed with concerns of Lyme patients to really pay much attention. So it's understandable that if you're not looking for something, even if it's the elephant in the living room, you're not going to see it.
Exactly.
Just as my friend told me years ago, don't believe me, just look it up and look up in the sky. I have two questions. Number one, if these trails were only contrails or water vapor, or if they use the same fuel used by skywriting planes, the trails would dissipate quietly and leave no effect on our sky. So are they just contrails like the disbelievers would have you believe? Number two, if normal, typical planes can fly without leaving any trails, I may be oversimplifying, but why not also make it a law that all planes use the less offensive fuel? Health-wise, vitamin D deficiency is real. Lyme patients may in fact be a group of the population who may be the most seriously impacted. It is depressing to suffer from tick-borne diseases and the lack of blue skies, beautiful sunsets and sunrises, that doesn't help Lyme patients or anyone. If someone, as I do believe now, if someone is, or at least they do have the capacity of adding harmful chemicals, etc., to their chemtrails, Lyme patients are not healthy enough to withstand this kind of barrage for long. As for who is responsible for this, I don't believe it is our total U.S. government or any other country's total government. And I also doubt if it is all corporations, but we do need to find out who they are, and we do need to stop them. The IR 2029 is a really good beginning, and I thank you very much, and especially everyone.
Unfortunately, as an immigrant, I came 40 years ago in this country because I believed in the ideals of this country. And now I see that we have turned everything upside down. And it's a grotesque example of what used to be the United States.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful. Jennifer Jager.
You're asking, I want to open up with my favorite bumper sticker states. If you're not pissed off, then you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
That is true. So true. For those who don't believe, I want to describe what has happened. This, by the way, started about 20 years ago, but today it can't go unnoticed. I would like to ask everyone to just look up, pay attention to the skies in the morning, throughout the day, and into the evening. On certain days, you will notice nothing, but other days you can see these planes that are at least 33,000 feet up in the air. Sometimes you might see more than one of these planes in the sky at once. In 2006, my wife and I noticed four or five planes flying east to west from our first home in Riverhead. My wife and I see as they were flying that they started the persistent contrails and stopped it when they wanted because the planes would still be in the same elevation but no persistent contrails. That was just very disturbing. I had called my senators, congressmen, and U.S. Health Department. You will notice that this persistent contrail that goes from one horizon to the other. Sometimes they are short, sometimes they are behind clouds. They sometimes create X's, and other times they grid-like patterns. They eventually expand throughout the day by covering this whole sky, which then look like cirrus clouds. Cirrus clouds appear to be white and light gray in color. They form when water vapor undergoes deposition at altitudes of 16,500 feet in temperate regions and above 20,000 feet in tropical regions, which is why they are not cirrus clouds. I know when I was growing up as a kid, there was no such thing what I call sky graffiti or sky pollution. There are these nanoparticles of aluminum, barium, and strontium falling from the skies because people are finding them at extremely high levels in ponds, lakes, and soil. My family has found that we have high aluminum when we were tested for heavy metals. My wife and I had 11. My children had a 10, but the CDC says that the safe range is 0 through 9. When I had the chelation done, which is a process that can go through to remove heavy metals, which is expensive because medical insurance doesn't cover, my numbers went up instead of going down. That's because the aluminum was pulled out of the fatty tissues or the cells where it was stored. What is really scary, could they be dropping anything else upon us? there is a disease called Morgellons, which came out in the 90s. And there is documentation out there that explains that in depth. It's believed that synthetic polymer fibers that are being dropped, which are catalyzed by the metals in the air. A.C. Griffith was an associate within the NSA, and he carried top secret clearance and a cryptographic clearance. In his more recent times, he's associated with CIA operations. On May 14th, 2007, he was interviewed on a program called The Power Hour. He stated that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was where it had been managed. We know that the people have died over this program, he said. And one of the key people that designed aerosol, barium salt aerosol, was set up by people in the Reagan administration, and he is now sitting in a federal penitentiary. They are still going to him to ask him questions, but yet he is still in prison. That is a little unnerving, isn't it? That the man that has designed the barium salt aerosol is still sitting in prison? The trails, white trails, that are not coming out of the engines. It's coming out of aerosol units on the aircraft. The name of the project is Project Cloverleaf, and in the air industry, it's very secretive. Project Cloverleaf was initiated to allow commercial airlines to assist in the releasing of these chemicals into the atmosphere. Airline companies in America have been participating in something called Project Cloverleaf for some years now. In 1998 and 1999, airline employees have been being briefed on it. A few airline employees who were briefed on the Project Cloverleaf were all made to undergo background checks, and before they were briefed on it, they were made to sign on non-disclosure agreements, which basically state that if they were to tell anyone, they would know they would be imprisoned. My final statement, everyone needs to wake up. Start paying attention. There is more to the persistent contrails than the public knows. The military has lots of reasons, especially scalar weapons, and they don't want the public to know. So the best way to convince the public nothing out of the ordinary is to tell them the people are conspiracy theorists. As time goes on, and it's going to be harder for them to hide the truth. Thank you very much, and thank you for everybody coming.
That audio was recorded at the April 30th, 2012 public meeting of the Suffolk County Health Committee in effort to put forward legislation to ban geoengineering, the whole process of manipulating weather and the related operations which deliberately alter the atmosphere chemically. The commentary I read by Vivian Workington, I think, encapsulated a lot of cognitive dissonance and contradictions, manipulation and deception that many experts have been exposing in the last 5 years on climate engineering, but Vivian also revealed a very interesting vulnerability of the left. They're being used, she says, as the enforcing arm to push through these corporate-based environmental policies. I'll read that part again, but I'd like to know what you think about this topic. Call us right now at 212-209-2900 for comments and questions, and we'll be right back after this break.